So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey everybody, it is Tommy Freedom, and man, do we have some things to talk about! Yeah, so let's look back at the past week. Okay, first of all, we dropped a bomb on Syria. Now, this is a big bomb. It's called Moab. Now, the common nomenclature for this is Mother of All Bombs, but it actually stands for Massive Ordnance Airburst. Now, well, that's kind of, you know, that's the thing that the military loves to do. They come up with these nomenclatures, and then they have all the little ones that, you know, kind of mean the same thing. But so we pretty much know it as the Mother of All Bombs. But it really doesn't matter what you call it, because when this thing goes off, it is the biggest non-nuclear bomb that has ever been detonated in a field of battle. And we got it, folks. We have it. We have tested it, and you can go online. You can look at the tests on this. It was detonated twice over Eglin Air Force Base in southern Florida. Well, actually, it's the Panhandle. I was going to say sunny South Florida, but that would be encroaching on somebody else's radio show, which I don't want to do. But this thing is incredible. I mean, it leaves a mushroom cloud. It looks just like a nuclear bomb has been detonated. And this thing has like a kill blast zone of, and I've heard varying reports on this, 1,000 to 2,000 feet, 1,000 to 2,000 yards as far as a radius goes. Either way, it's a minimum of 2,000 feet that this thing literally blows a crater into the ground, okay? It goes off just above the surface, so it literally delivers that shockwave into the ground and then out. So the shockwave travels through things, and things being very key in this case being cave openings. So you have a tremendous amount of energy being delivered through the air that goes through these cave openings and just obliterates anything that is inside of those complexes. Think of it this way. You know, we breathe at 18 pounds per square inch of atmospheric pressure. If this thing delivers an additional 100 pounds, and it's probably a lot more, and it depends upon how far out you are, I mean, that's literally going to go down your throat. Your lungs are going to explode. And even if you had your mouth shut, that kind of a compression on your body would be like suddenly being in a submarine under the ocean that decompressed. And you would take all of that energy directly to the outside, and it would squeeze and compress you into pretty much a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, folks, if you have not seen one of these things, they are massive. I mean, they literally take up the trailer on a flatbed tractor and trailer truck. These things are huge. They look like a missile in and of themselves, but they are actually a bomb. These things are incredible. 21,000 pounds is what this weapon weighs. And I don't know if it's RDX or whatever's in there, probably TNT. And if so, think of it this way. Nuclear bombs are gauged via kilotons or megatons. So a kiloton is 1,000 pounds of TNT. Now, the Hiroshima bomb was somewhere, I think, around 10 kilotons. So 10,000 tons of TNT. Big explosion, okay? So what this MOAB is 21,000 pounds of TNT. So we're in the fractional regime here of a kiloton. But we have seen the results of a few kilotons. So imagine 1/200th of the Hiroshima bomb going off. And that is what we dropped on our friends at ISIS last week. Folks, it's time we started doing this. And let me tell you, Barack Hussein, listen, folks, Barack Hussein, the enemy, Hussein Obama, would have never done this. Why? Because he's in bed with ISIS, because he is one of them. If the Hildebeest had won, she would have never done this. Donald J. Trump had the brass to do this. And not only that, folks, now we're looking at North Korea. Over the weekend, that fat little... Well, I'm going to keep my comments to myself. He does look like a homosexual to me, but can't prove it. But that fat little guy with the bad haircut, that insane fat little guy with the bad haircut, who may be of questionable origin, sexual orientation, decided that he was going to commemorate the birth of his nation by setting off a missile. And it blew up. Well, folks, let's look at Star Wars. We know that we have had this technology for some time to be able to knock missiles and rockets out of the air from space. And it would not surprise me one little bit if that is not what happened on the launch pad when this fat little guy with the bad haircut decided to launch one of his missiles to, quote-unquote, teach us a lesson. He didn't teach us a lesson. I think we taught him one. Now, the next thing is his military detonation of another nuclear weapon. It could be atomic. It could be bigger. Wait, we know he does not have the ability to make a nuclear bomb. And when I say nuclear bomb, I'm talking a hydrogen bomb. He does have the ability to make an atomic bomb. I think we taught him a lesson. I don't think he's going to listen to it. So what happens if this little bugger, this fat little bugger with a bad haircut, who is of questionable sexual orientation, decides to detonate another atomic weapon. Well, folks, the previous five tests were done when Barack Hussein Obama was president. Someone who was sympathetic to that regime. Hey, there's a new kid in town. His name is Donald J. Trump, and he's not taking any crap. And I think dropping the Moab was a clear and present signal to North Korea. Dude, mess with us, and we're going to mess with you. If we did, in fact, make that missile blow up on the pad, that is yet another message. Dude, we're watching you. Dude, don't do it. Don't do it. But he's stupid. He's an idiot. I mean, this guy, I mean, you look at him. I mean, that haircut alone, for God's sakes. Anybody with a haircut like that has to be a freaking moron. And he's not going to listen. That's going to take something really hard cut. But now, folks, for the past 8 years, we were cowering to the Chinese because of the stance that Hussein Obama took towards the Chinese. Hell, Trump and he are getting along just fine. They're laughing, they're carrying on, we're bombing the crap out of Syria, and this guy, Xi, he's just laughing his ass off. They know we are now on the same page, and North Korea is on its way out. North Korea no longer has an ally in China. It's gone. It's done. It's gone the way of the dodo. It will never come back. And now he has two options. One is to admit defeat, which he'll never do. The other one is to make a stand, which is probably, most likely, the target that he's going to do. It's the direction he's going to take. And when that happens, folks, it's not going to be pretty. He's either going to use conventional missiles against South Korea, or he's going to put a nuke on a submarine and take it very close to the United States and detonate it. And we cannot afford to let that happen. We have to take action now. We have to make a tactical strike, a preemptive strike against this idiot, this moron, this delusional idiot who is bent on destroying us. We have to do it. Let's go back and look at history. For years, for decades, we fought a Cold War with the Soviet Union. And when Desert Storm came about, the Russians openly admitted they had no idea whatsoever what we actually had. They had no idea of our real capabilities. They were so used to lying and giving out false information, they assumed that we were doing the same thing, and that was not the case. If the Russians had actually known what we had, there would have never been a Cold War. Vladimir Putin knows this. He knows what we have. He knows what we're capable of. And he's not going to push the button. So, Russia is really not a threat as far as Syria goes or North Korea. The Chinese, for some reason, seem to be delighted that Donald Trump is courting them, and they are just working with him hand over fist. We're going to do some wonderful things with China, I think. Trump knows how to handle these people. China is the only country that was keeping North Korea going. And as of the end of this past week, China has stopped all coal shipments from North Korea. And this is huge, folks, because coal is the big commodity for North Korea. North Korea doesn't have oil, they don't have gas, they don't have gold, they don't have silver, they have coal. Their biggest, well, their only consumer is China. China has said they will no longer accept coal shipments from North Korea. This is huge. That's going to bankrupt that fat little queer boy with the bad haircut. On top of that, they know something that you and I don't, because China suspended all flights of Chinese into North Korea. They know that we are getting ready to do something. And you know what, folks? It's about damn time. I gotta take a break. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective. Gay pride days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so now there's more information coming in that the U.S. may very well have been responsible for this missile blowing up for 4 or 5 seconds after launch, which means basically right over the launch pad where it's going to do the most amount of damage. Now, John McCain is saying, well, Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We really don't know. Well, yeah. Yes, it could have been. Maybe, maybe not. At this point, we don't know. But if it was U.S. Intel that hacked into that computer system, then it just sent that fat little queer boy with the bad haircut a very stern and strong message that if you do anything like this, we will use your own weapons against you. Now, earlier on in the show, I was postulating that perhaps we were using some sort of technology that could have taken this thing out from space. But now it appears that we did it via hacking. And the Democrats are already jumping on this bandwagon, folks. They're saying, oh yeah, this was technology left over from the Obama era. Barack Obama's responsible for this. And yeah, no, I don't think so. You see, if Barack Obama had that kind of capability, you'd think he would have used it. I mean, the guy had 8 years to get this stuff done. Oh, and that's another thing, folks. Now, the pro-Obama crowd, they're also crowing that if Obama were still in office, that he would have done the exact same thing in Syria, dropping the mother of all bombs. Well, once again, he had 8 years to get off his unqualified ass and do something, and he didn't. So you're going to try and convince me that if he were still in office, he would have done this? No way. No way whatsoever am I buying that. But it does actually look now like we may very well have taken out that missile ourselves. And if that's the case, like I said, it sends a very strong message, not only to the Norks, but the Russians and the Chi-Coms as well. We can hack your systems just as well as you can hack ours. So if you hack us off, hack you. Oh, and speaking of hacking and Syria, now some egghead at MIT is claiming that the nerve agent attack in Syria was staged. And he says this raises serious questions about who was responsible. Now, this guy's name is Theodore Postol, and he's professor emeritus at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And he issued a series of three reports in response to the White House's finding that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad perpetrated the attack on April the 4th. And he has concluded that the U.S. government's report does not provide any concrete evidence that Assad was responsible for the attack. And he says it was more likely that the attack was perpetrated by players on the ground. And he says, I have reviewed the document carefully, and I believe it can be shown without doubt that the document does not provide any evidence whatsoever to the U.S. government has concrete knowledge that the government of Syria was the source of the chemical attack. And he goes on to say, in fact, a main piece of evidence that is cited in the document points to an attack that was executed by individuals on the ground, not from an aircraft, on the morning of April the 4th. And my conclusion is based on an assumption, yes, assumption, made by the White House when it cited the source of the sarin release and the photographs of that source. My own assessment is that the source was very likely tampered with or staged, so no serious conclusion could be made from the photographs cited by the White House. So, this guy is claiming to know more than the experts in Washington, D.C. that study this thing, the CIA, the FBI, the ATF, all these guys that are used to looking at this stuff. And he's talking about a picture here. It's a crater, and it contains what looks like the remnants of a shell inside, and that's what they say contained the sarin gas. But his analysis of the shell says that it could not have been dropped from a plane, as the damage of the casing is inconsistent from an aerial explosion. Instead, Postol said it was more likely that an explosive charge was laid upon the shell containing the sarin before being detonated. Well, that could very well be, but regardless, it could still have very well been set off by the Assad regime. I mean, this is what this guy does. This is what terrorists do. They don't necessarily have to detonate this thing from an aerial canister. If it suits their purpose better to have snuck in, laid this thing out, and then basically used a pipe bomb to take this canister of sarin and to compress it to a point where it became aerosolized. Whatever works for them. I mean, these guys are terrorists. They're used to making improvised explosives. We know this. So I'm not buying this postal guy's theory, and time will tell. But, you know, it's just already. Oh, it was staged. It wasn't real. Donald Trump was making a mistake. This shows how big of a buffoon he is. Well, so far, folks, everything that Donald Trump has said has been proved beyond not only a reasonable doubt, but a shadow of a doubt. This man is very much aware of the goings-on that he has to deal with. And he knows far better than we how to interpret the data and the facts that he's presented with to make his own logical conclusion. Leave the expertise to the experts. And I'll give you an example of this. Personally, myself, I am one of the leading experts in the world on a particular tree. This is a very rare tree. It's very endangered. And I get emails several times a week from mostly the United States, but all over the world, from people asking questions about their tree. Is it diseased? Is it sick? Is it dying? Is it dried out? What can I do? How do I make it grow faster? How do I make it grow bigger? How does it get that wonderful shape? And a lot of these questions are from .edu email addresses. They're coming from professors because there is no course on this particular tree. So the professors have to come to me to learn whatever it is that they need to teach their class. So I am considered an expert on that subject, and again, one of the leading experts in the world. And in some cases, I have learned information that no one else has, and I am the sole source for that type of information. So taking and turning this around, let's just say that my expertise were in explosives or in terrorism, then I would probably be working for the Joint Terrorism Task Force or something, utilizing all of that expertise. But I'm not, so I don't, but there are people out there who do. And those are the people that this country relies on to make determinations based on facts from things that these people have learned in their own areas of expertise. And that's what makes them the experts. Now, maybe one day my expertise in silviculture will somehow be able to be used to protect the national security. I don't ever foresee that happening, but should it ever become available, then yes, I would of course be there to offer my services to protect us against any invaders or terrorists or anyone within the government wanting to shut down this nation. But unfortunately, that's not the case, so as of right now, I will continue writing and acting and doing this show and doing my best to keep you informed as to what you can do to stay safe in this ever-increasingly dangerous world. And on that note, it is time for me to sign off here. So I will be back next week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom. Stay safe, and I'll see you soon. Out for now. George says, I won't see you again soon because this is a radio show. And he is absolutely correct. I will talk soon. Out for now. Is that better, George?